Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend John, engineering and producing the program. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, September the 26th, the last week of September, as we transition, hopefully, into a little cooler weather. We've got a few really warm days to get through, and then hope we can look forward to maybe those 80-degree days where we have those beautiful nights down into the 50s. Hopefully that's right around the corner. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line, when we do our telephone interviews, is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off, presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our Monday political face-off commentator is with me, seated to my right. Chris Ackerley is back with us, former state lawmaker, physics and math teacher, now assistant treasurer of Pima County, and Don Jorgensen. Dr. Jorgensen is with us, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. How are you gentlemen today?
Doing good. Great. Good to see you again, Bill.
Chris, what'd you do this weekend?
Shopping. My daughter has an orchestra concert coming up next week, so we went clothes shopping.
What instrument?
Not my favorite thing to do.
What instrument is she?
She's playing the bass.
Mm. And of course, at work, you're very busy.
We're getting into the busy season.
The busy season. So everyone has
tax
received.
Tax notices have gone out.
The tax notices are out.
And I would encourage everyone not to wait until the last week in October, because our call volume will be really, really heavy if you need some assistance.
So if you need assistance, look at the statement right now and make the call today, really. Yeah. And if people are dealing with the mortgage company, and so many do, should they rely totally, just let it go and let the mortgage company deal with it?
Well, 99% of the time it works absolutely fine. But realize that everybody did get a notice, right? Everybody received a notice in the mail, regardless of whether a mortgage company or you are paying it. If there is a problem, if you know that, you know, your notice said that, you know, we anticipate a mortgage company paying this, and that's not true, you need to take care of that. And like I said, 99 times out of 100, it goes smoothly.
But any questions, you could be stuck with a penalty if you ignore it.
If you ignore it, yes. Yeah. If you ignore it. Don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it. Okay, Don, did you have a great weekend?
I did. I attended the Rotary District Conference here in Southern Arizona, which had a theme of empowering girls. So there were great look at Rotary projects, supporting girls and young women, and cooperation with Boys and Girls Club, with JTED, with Women's Foundation, State of Arizona, with Girl Scouts. So just a wonderful couple of days and looking at all the things that are happening in the community.
Are you the district, I want to say commander, that's probably the right term. Are you like the district head of Rotary in Southern Arizona?
Or district governor-elect, which will be next year. So
district
a lot of work this year.
District governor-elect.
Yeah. And I'll make a point now, because this is important. Since this is a political talk show, one of the things that's great about Rotary is it is non-political. We keep politics out of it.
How do you do that?
Because people are focused on the theme, which is service above self. And it's all about benefiting our communities. And with the great service projects that all the different Rotary clubs, and there's 51 across Southern Arizona, do for the local communities and around the world.
We'll have to bring you back and just do a half hour with you about that topic. Work you do with, is it Shelterbox?
Shelterbox, which was an
outgrowth. Had you ever heard of Shelterbox, Chris?
I don't believe I have.
Yeah.
It's a global disaster relief organization. We respond to natural and man-made disasters around the world, providing shelter directly to the most vulnerable families, kind of in their worst time of their life. Mm-hmm. Right now, for example, we're in 10 or 11 countries right now, but the most recent was Pakistan because of the flooding.
Yeah.
We're watching the Philippines right now, too, because of the weather heading there.
But now, what is your role with them?
Just this, a volunteer ambassador. I go around around Arizona telling about the great work they do, helping to raise funds, because it's they take no government money, no government funding. It's all private supported.
Okay, gentlemen. The Apima County Superior Court judge Friday lifted an injunction that had been pushed by Attorney General Mark Brnovich that allowed a pre-statehood law banning almost all abortions to take place in the state of Arizona. Brnovich says that this will provide clarity about the state's abortion laws, but others are saying, yeah, what kind of clarity? I mean, there are a lot of people, medical providers and women, that have more questions. Don, is this something the Democrats will try to capitalize on, to this uncertainty?
Well, capitalize on it by just making public the continued attack on women's rights. Yes, this just exacerbates that. And there's a lot of concern that Arizona is on that road of banning all abortions completely, regardless of rape, incest, and beyond. And you have folks that want to take it back. I think Hamadeh, the Republican running for attorney general, wants to take it back to the point of conception. I mean, there's a lot of insanity. And what's happening on the Democratic side then is you have a lot of voters being motivated either by anger and frustration at this, again, continued process of taking away their rights, or enthusiasm for all the good things that's happening. And I hope we'll talk about that, too, in terms of what Democrats are accomplishing. But this law is, it goes beyond outrageous when you look at the history of it that we can get into, too, if you like.
What's your take on this from a Republican point of view, Chris?
I don't know that the current ruling in the case really provides any sort of clarity, because it's just lifting an injunction. There's still a long way to go through the process. And the reality is at both the local and national level, this is something that legislative bodies are going to have to contend with in the coming cycle. And I think it is going to be a real challenge for our political system, because the activists on both sides are at the extremes, and that's not where the vast majority of Americans are. And one of the things that gets conflated is both that the Supreme Court ruling and this ruling as well. People have my friends on the other side have put away some of the lessons they learned in civics. Rulings by courts are not about what popular sentiment it is. It's about what the law is, right? And so that then forces it back to a legislative matter coming up on the next cycles. And unfortunately, the other side they bash anybody who suggests, you know, that we go to a more extreme view on that and say, well, there's no exception for rape or the health of the mother in there. But that's not what they're advocating for. They're not just advocating for that exception. They're advocating for no restrictions anywhere, anytime, anyhow. And I think the vast majority of Americans recognize that, no, at some point in this process, the rights of that unborn child come into play. And so it's not just no limitations, nowhere, anytime. And so coming together to put together legislative proposals that are rational and recognize that that unborn child has rights is going to be a true challenge to our system.
That's nonsense. No one on the Democratic side has ever said abortion on demand at all times. They've looked at, as most people do, what's reasonable. It's not up to 9 months. The only time that happens is when, again, it's the health of the mother. On the other side, you do have the extremists that want to ban abortions in all cases, no matter what, regardless of the health of the mother. Look at what's happened in Ohio Look what's happened in Louisiana and places like Florida, where they're requiring, 10-year-olds to bear their rapist child, where in Louisiana they forced a woman to take a headless fetus to term. I mean, just outrageous. And what's happening here in Arizona is they are looking for an outright ban. We've had legislators say that here. And so the only response that the voters have is to vote out the Republicans in the state legislature, because those are the ones that will make those decisions about the laws that Chris is referring to.
We have to take a break right here, but this particular law, does this have its heritage going all the way back to Prescott, Arizona, when Prescott was the capital?
It was first written in 1864, and it really had nothing to do with the women. It had to do with reining in lawless men who were poisoning people. So it's a fascinating history. And the other point real quick is there are actually two laws now coming into conflict. One is this one with a total ban. The other one is one that was passed that included a 15-week ban. Mm. And so that is also an issue of confusion, thanks to the Republican legislature.
There's got to be some clarity that, Chris, you're hoping will come out.
There will have to be.
Yeah.
But I'm a little bit, a little bit taken aback. I'm wondering if you're actually suggesting that the Democratic Party is okay with a reasonable time limit on abortions, or would they accept any restrictions on it?
They've always understood that.
I didn't say understood. I'm saying accept.
Well, let me put it this way. I know that Democrats have always been willing to look at that. It's never been abortion on demand all the way through to the day before birth. They've always looked at what's happening in reality with how are you respecting the rights of those women? How are you dealing with their reproductive rights and health care needs? And unfortunately, the folks on the right have never been willing to discuss any of that. What we're looking for is kind of a central, reasonable discussions and have reasonable laws written that respect rights and not take them away. And no one on the right seems willing to do that.
Let's take a break right here and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. We were up at Mona's yesterday, had a wonderful breakfast. A couple of eggs over easy. I love their bacon. Had an order of bacon and then one of their wonderful rolls, some new item on the it was so good. A cherry filled donut. Am I making you?
I'm drooling.
It was so good. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, they take a break, and they need a break after yesterday. The place was packed. They're doing very well right now at Mona's. They take Monday off. They're open tomorrow for breakfast. Starts all over again. 6:30 for breakfast Tuesday through Saturday. 7 to 2 on Sunday. Close Monday. The website, which apparently they're revamping, owner Steve told me yesterday, I think it looks pretty good right now with all those beautiful color pictures of everything on the menu, but they're updating it. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. We'll be right back on the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. the Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don Jorgensen is here, and Chris Ackerley. Representing the Republicans. And I noticed that your colleague, Shelley Kice, who puts out, I think she calls it E-Tracks, a weekly newsletter. She lists, there must be about 10 items here that she says Republicans are running on, out of control spending, highest murder rate in 20 years. And then I see an area that you're very familiar with since you were a public school teacher for over 20 years. Shelley says confidence in public schools is now at just 28%. Is that a fault of the Democrats or what?
No, I think it has a lot to do with what we've gone through for the past 3 years. For the large part, we did not handle COVID well. The frustrations that have arisen out of that and the frustrations that continue because of, you know, the spot we put ourselves in with that. There were a lot of school district governing boards that needed to step up and make some tough decisions, and they didn't do it. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, that's caused a lot of people to lose some confidence in the direction that the schools were heading.
Don, any reaction to that?
Yeah, I agree in part with what Chris has said. COVID was not handled well, really at any level when it comes to the schools. And, you know, no one had any experience with it. And overreacted in some areas and underreacted in others, and not realizing the harm that would come with having remote learning or no learning going on in a lot of those places. So I think there's enough blame to go around on both sides with that. The other aspect, though, taking a longer view of it over the past decade and what's happened in Arizona, is, again, the failure of the legislature and the governor to adequately fund public education. And that came about in two ways. One, just the lack of funding, and two, the shifting of taxpayer money to private entities like the private school vouchers and all of that. And so in reality, to say that the public education system is struggling is very true. But you can't starve a body for years and years, not giving it what it needs, and then complain that it's not strong enough. And that's what's happening now with Ms. Kice's argument, rather than looking at what are the remedies, what are the solutions. You know, we have the superintendent of public instruction, Kathy Hoffman, proposing solutions that the legislature ignores, and we're hearing nothing from the legislature other than these attacks. And what public schools need is the support up to the level necessary to get the job done, frankly, and to support the struggling schools, not harm them further by taking more funds away, and accountability at all levels. I think we might agree on that, both for public schools and charter schools and any schools that take public money, whether it's through vouchers or any other method.
When you were in the legislature, Chris, you were a big proponent, weren't you, of public education?
Yes. Yes, I was. And quite honestly,
unlike some of your colleagues, perhaps.
The first budget that first session I was in there, I was still, at the end of the day, I was a no vote on it because we needed to do a better job. However, over the course of the last couple of years, with the money that has, in a sense, sloshed around because of the pandemic, there were the resources in the last 2 years financially to correct some of these problems. But those resources, in a lot of cases, got squandered, and I believe that plays into this very fact that we're, there's some widespread angst about how school districts are governed, because a lot of money got wasted.
One of the other things Shelley pointed out about education in her list of about 10 items that Republicans are running on, labeling parents seeking to attend school board meetings as domestic terrorists. Was that an isolated incident, or has it happened more than once?
No. I don't – whether they get labeled as domestic terrorists. Yeah. But if you watch school boards, there are a lot of cases when particularly left-leaning school board members – view the public with disdain. I think they need to keep that in mind as we as we move forward, because that is not the way. The school districts are there for the students, and by extension the parents. They don't exist outside of that reason, and sometimes school administrations and school board members lose sight of that fact.
Would you agree with that, Don?
If we clarify who we're talking about, because we have all seen plenty of the TV reports that show these parents coming in and disrupting school board meetings and yelling over people that are trying to conduct the business and coming in with signs and all of that. So if they view those people with disdain, that's understandable. I think what's necessary is to call again for civility. This is something that, former Congressman Ron Barber has worked on quite a bit, to restore that to politics so that, in this case, both sides are able to be treated respectfully and be heard, whether they're on the school board or running for school board, not making outrageous claims, but, again, looking at what can be done to improve the education of our children in Arizona. And I think we do agree on that. But to label one side or the other as the problem, I think we have to look at the behaviors.
And quickly, about Mr. Putin switching from schools.
Big jump there.
It's a huge jump. It was interesting. The columnist, I think, her name's Trudy Rubin. She had a piece in the Arizona Daily Star, and then the Wall Street Journal's Peggy Noonan, in her column Saturday in the Journal, Peggy Noonan says, Don, it's a mistake to shrug off Putin's threats of nuclear weapons. And the other columnist, Trudy Rubin, says, No, a bully like Putin only stops when he's confronted.
And both are true. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we have a president who understands that, who understands that this guy only responds to strength. And so President Biden has done a great job of bringing NATO back together, bringing coalitions back together to stand with Ukraine and to send that message to Putin that he can't continue his lies and bullying, and because that is the only response.
Has Biden been a strong leader then in this area?
Without question. Look how he's rallied folks around Ukraine, even with Republican opposition early on.
Chris, we've only got a few seconds. I'm sure you disagree with
well,
that.
I would have to disagree with that. I think that one of the scary parts of this whole thing is that I think Putin is eventually going to run into resistance within his own country. And quite honestly, I'm concerned about how he might
de facto draft.
Yeah.
It's not working, folks. Okay, so. Chris Eckerle. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
And Don Jorgensen, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be back with Hank Amos talking about the residential and commercial real estate scene, and residential is taking a huge hit right now. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Speaking of Green Things, Jan, the owner, Jan and Jack own Green Things. She sent me some information about a parking lot sale that sounds very, very interesting. Going on today, right now, at Green Things, they are discounting prices on landscape shrubs and other things that they have too much of and do not want to overwinter. In other words, keep in the greenhouses during the winter. But some of these prices are great. 10-inch hanging perennial basket, $9.99. A 15-gallon fig, 8-foot-tall fig tree, $80. Good prices now over at Green Things. Their 13-acre site is located at 3384 East River Road. It's greenthingsaz.com for more information about the parking lot sale now underway. When we do our telephone interviews, that is sponsored by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And we are going to go now to the live line. George H. Amos III, known as Hank Amos, who is the CEO and president of Tucson Realty and Trust, a company incorporated under the laws of the Territory of Arizona in 1911 and adopted that very distinctive bullseye as its logo. Mr. Amos, Hank, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, I'm telling you, looking at some of these numbers you sent me about the residential market, it has really gone south, Hank.
It has. And first, I want to thank Kevin Kaplan at Long Realty who provided those stats for me. I really appreciate it. So what's happened is, you know, I think the party is definitely over for residential real estate. Remember, it was so hot. Everything was happening. Prices were crazy. The market was, you know, extremely strong, but there's some tough times that are ahead right now. Interest rates are rising, which will put a damper on home sales as people can no longer afford maybe a home. I think the economy is going to get tough, and then you might have some layoffs, and that's going to, you know, a play in there. But across the country, you're already seeing listing prices drop, inventory starting to build up, and there's absolutely little to no traffic in new home subdivisions today. So if you look at last year and this year, so last year we did 4.979 million, and this year in total sales volume, and this year we've done 5.283 million. Now that's an increase over last year, but it's mainly because the median sales price of a home went up almost 19%, or the average sales price of a home almost 15%. So the dollar volume is higher, but here's where the story's at. Total units sold, homes that are sold, it's down 7.4%. So it's almost 1,000 units less than last year at this time. And that's the story. And then you talk to everybody and you see what's happening. So, you know, like I said, the party's over for residential real estate as far as this super hot market.
Yeah, I mean, go down pretty much any street. I know our own particular street, like a year ago, one home that I'm thinking of would have sold in certainly under a month. They've still got the for sale sign out there right now. So, Hank, people who didn't get involved and didn't sell before the whole thing went south really are having to wait, aren't they?
Yeah. And so, you know, what's happening right now is you're seeing the stock market, you're hearing the negative news, and there's a lot of black swans flying around. And folks are thinking, you know, I don't know if I should get in right now. A lot of individuals remember 2005 when everybody was buying and they were bought and the market fell apart in 2007, 2008, and home values collapsed. So people are thinking, I don't know if I should be buying at the top of the market right now. And you're already starting to see it go down a little bit. The other thing that kind of fueled all this buying is there was all this PPP money or the EIDL that kind of came out. And so people had extra money and they were maybe spending on different things. It was just kind of going crazy out there, but that's not happening right now. And interest rates are going up. They planned for three more increases of 75 to 100 basis points. So basically, look at 3 more percent. It's already doubled. I think interest rates may even go higher because inflation, the true rate of inflation, is somewhere between 16, 17, and 8%. It's not at 8%. Because if you look at, they don't incorporate food prices or gas or energy in inflation anymore. They used to back in the day when interest rates went up to 20% when we had inflation. They don't do that now. So I think you're going to see interest rates go up a little bit higher, and that's obviously just going to really stop, you know, the home market.
Well, you're no longer associated with the residential market, Hank Amos, so you're probably very happy about that right now, that you're strictly dealing with the commercial end of things, because it is a different story in your market, isn't it?
So yeah, it is a different story. So maybe the commercial market isn't as strong as it was last year, but it's still pretty good. It's moving along. And with sales and leasing, it's just not the feverish pace that we had. That's kind of more like a normal market. Sales and leasing activity could and most likely would subdue if this recession really gets worse and the interest rates really rise. But it's still, you know, surprisingly doing very well. Apartments are just crazy right now. There's not as strong as far as sales of last year, but the market's still really strong and they're having sales. The cap rates are really low, 4.8%. Rent growth is the story here in apartments. It went up 14.5%. So the average rate for a unit now is $1,150.
Wow.
And that's crazy. It wasn't even near there 4 or 5 years ago.
No.
And 5 years ago, if you look at the Southwest market, we probably had some of the lowest rates in the market. So that's the reason why a lot of investors came here, because our cap rates were pretty high. Remember, the higher the cap rate, the cheaper the product. The lower the cap rate, the more expensive. So they're all outside investors coming from stronger markets that saw Tucson as an opportunity, and they bought, and then they started raising the rental rates because they saw how much they could increase it. And that's the reason why the activity was so strong in apartments. But I don't know if $1,150 is sustainable these days, because you don't have all that extra PPP money or the EIDL money coming through. And if the economy gets tough, people are going to lose their jobs. So I don't see the rental rates, and some people may disagree because there's nowhere to go. So they're saying rental rates are going to continue to go up. But if people can't afford it, or they're losing their jobs, and when the economy gets tough, they start moving in with their friends or moving back with their parents or people moving in together to reduce that cost. And so it's going up. I just don't know. I mean, we may be peaking right now as far as that.
And
but
the
market's real strong.
The industrial area is doing pretty well, isn't it?
Industrial, so that was always the laggard, right? It was always the worst asset class That's not the case anymore. Industrial is really having a hot market right now. There's been a 36% increase in leasing rates, and that's because everything's been leased up, right? The vacancy rate's about 3.5%. So everything's leased up. It's a hot market right now. It's so hot that they're building about another, a little bit over 500,000 square feet of more industrial space. So about 300,000 of it's going to be by the airport area. Another 200,000 plus is going to be up in the Northwest. And so the market's really strong. And the demand is really in warehouse and distribution. That's where it's at right now. And I think you might see even more of it because remember back in the day, everybody offshored, right, moved to China.
Yeah.
And was having all their work done there because it was cheaper. But now everybody realizes there's problems in China, right? And so what's happening now, the term is called nearshoring. They're bringing it back. They're bringing it back probably to Mexico and here. And obviously, if they're bringing it back here, there's going to be a need for distribution and warehousing in the States as the product moves across the border. So industrial is really strong, and it's also been really strong for the smaller space. Like, you only need 2,000 or 5,000 square feet and maybe a yard. That goes immediately. So that market's been very, very strong.
The lease rate is up almost 36% year to year.
Yep. So the average lease rate, if you annual, you know, industrial, they always do everything by the month. So it's about 69 cents. It depends upon what products you are. You can be manufacturing. You can be flex space. You could be warehouse distribution. And if you annualize that, that's about $8.28 a foot. So that's where the lease rates are. They've really gone up.
All right. Stay with us, Hank. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about retail and office with Hank Amos of Tucson Realty and Trust, the CEO and the president there on our live line. We'll be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive from Tucson to a beautiful environment. Things looking very good over there after the summer rains. And now we're in a transition season in the high country. The cottonwoods are turning a brilliant gold, so it's a beautiful time to be over there. Check out their website, which is southwestnewmexico.org, for what to do, and there are lots of outdoor activities and some great places to stay. We continue now with our updated report on the commercial real estate scene from Hank Amos of Tucson Realty and Trust, where he is the CEO and president. We talked about, well, we talked about the residential market just basically dead in the water right now. Commercial's somewhat of a different story. The market's not hot, but it's still moving along with sales and leasing. We talked about apartments. Still the king. Rental rates are at a record high, but Hank Amos wonders if that is sustainable. Industrial doing very well as companies decide, you know, I'm not so sure we want to do a lot of warehousing over in China. The pandemic changed a lot of things. Another thing the pandemic changed, Hank Amos, was the way we think of retail.
That's true. So, you know, the retail picture in Tucson basically is the big shopping malls, think Foothills Mall, they're not doing as well, right? But the vacancy overall has gone down. It's about 5.7%. But the market that's really hot in retail right now is really the single tenant. We call it single tenant, triple net, means the tenant pays for everything, for all the expenses regarding it. Single tenant, triple net deals. So if you think about fast feeders or Starbucks or coffee shops, right, those things are on fire. They build them, they get a tenant in there, and they lease it. But what's happening right now in retail is that restaurants, you know, they found that they made a lot of money during, you know, takeout. So they've now, everybody's kind of changing things, and they're looking at maybe how I can have a drive-through and change things up, because now all of a sudden they still get the walk-in and the sit-down traffic that they always had, but there's a new thing out there, which is all this takeout, and people are kind of used to it now. They can pick it up and take it home and watch whatever the movie or whatever they want to do. But those fast feeders, those coffee shops, they're selling. It's crazy. The cap rates, I think it's like, you know, what is it? The cap rates are like around 5% or so, and they can. It's just on fire. It's just on fire.
What's the weak link? Office?
Yeah, office is the lagger. It's definitely the weakest of all those asset classes that we've been talking about. I mean, the vacancy right now is almost 10%. There's still questions of, you know, am I going to have a full office with everybody back? There were some of it part-time. But mainly it's our economy. We're just not attracting a lot of businesses to come to our community. And so there's just really little demand for larger space, just not any vitality or velocity, right? So what's really happening or leasing right now is local businesses in that 4,000 to 7,000 range, maybe some regionals and nationals, but it's really in the 4,000 to 7,000 range. But office is just kind of lagging. There's deals being done, but there's just not, you know, big deals, big transactions happening in office.
Most deals in the 4,000 to 7,000 square foot range, which is kind of a medium size, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So small is considered like 1,500, 2,000 square feet. That's a medium size. That's doing well. If you have something in that range, that's doing well.
So
and the rent's gone up a little bit, too. It's gone up about, you know, 1%. But the average rent is about $22 a foot, give or take a little bit. But that's where office is. There's just it's not doing as well like apartments. Apartments is on fire. Industrial's on fire. There's certain aspects of retail that's really doing well and on fire. But office is just kind of lagging along.
But downtown seems to be doing pretty well with office, isn't it?
Yeah, downtown is doing great. So downtown, because you got Rio Nuevo, right? That district, and there's all these incentives that you can get if you do something in the Rio Nuevo district, right? Now they've expanded that down Broadway, and I think you're gonna as Broadway gets better, you're gonna see, you know, more deals being done. But the vacancy downtown is around, you know, 2.5%. And then you compare that vacancy rate to the east side, right, which is around 25% or so, and in the west side of town, which is around 27%. So you can see that some areas of Tucson are really struggling, but downtown's on fire, and it's hats off to Rio Nuevo what they're doing down there.
Okay, big picture. I've known you probably 30 years. We've talked about ins and ups and downs, ins and outs of these markets. How worried are you when you see what's going on with Wall Street, inflation? How worried are you in comparing it to, say, over the last 30 years, Hank Amos?
You know, so that's a good question, and I can answer it in two ways. First, I am worried. I think interest rates have to go, as I mentioned, a lot higher. Inflation's like 16, 17, 18%, somewhere in there. The last time we had inflation like that, they had to raise interest rates to 20%. I'm not saying that's going to go to 20%, but I think it's going to go significantly higher than what they're saying, like three rent raises and then we're done. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be a soft landing that some pundits are saying that's going to happen. I think we're in some pretty tough times. It's just, you know, Europe's a mess. They're in a recession. Our dollars are really strong. So the combination of that, they're not buying our goods and services down here. They're not going to be traveling over here. And then as interest rates rise, if people can't afford certain things, I think all that PPP money and that EIDL money that came through is going to get washed out of the system. You're already starting to see people getting their jobs laid off. And so I think that, you know, we're in a very tough time coming up. And I don't know how tough it's going to be, but I think it's going to be really tough. So how does that affect residential? I don't think you're going to see – obviously, you're not going to see the sales activity that we've had for the last couple of years. And it will affect the commercial to a degree too. And there's ways that you can still finance and do things, but I just think there's going to be this hunker-down mentality that's going to be happening, and there's going to be people maybe losing their jobs. On the flip side, you know, people have discovered the West, and Tucson's one of those communities. Phoenix is one of them. Denver's another. And I think you're going to still see a flight of migration coming from coastal cities moving here, because now you can do more, you know, online and Zoom and do all this stuff. And you don't need to be physically somewhere. So they're moving to the West because they like the lifestyle here. Maybe the freedoms that you enjoy, you know, more in, let's say, a Republican type, you know, environment versus, you know, one like the coastal cities that had the lockdowns that were really strict. So I still think there's going to be migration coming here. I don't know if that migration is going to overtake or be able to mitigate, you know, with this recession's coming. So, you know, I think there's going to be tough times, and I don't want to be, so negative on what's happening, but you asked me a question, and I think it's going to be tough.
We are positioned, though, as you say, downtown's doing pretty well, and people are, they've, as you say, discovered the West and the trends with people working at home. That will help us. So we do have some strong assets, thank goodness, Hank Amos.
We do. And you got the mine, you know, 32 South coming. There is some big distribution and manufacturing that's in play right now in Tucson. And, you know, that I still see that happening. Mm-hmm. I've been through this a couple times, and, you know, you get prepared for it. And I just don't want to be overly optimistic that everything's going to be rosy.
Yep.
We know interest rates are going to rise, and we know what happens when that happens.
Yep. You didn't get off the bus yesterday, Hank Amos. Thank you very much, Hank. Good talking with you. Good connecting with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John Engineering and producing on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, I hope you have a great afternoon.